City Talk 105.9 official podcasts online at citytalk.fm.
This is Talk to Trisha on City Talk 105.9.
Hi, this is Trisha Goddard. You're listening to a special programme to celebrate this year's Local Heroes Awards, which took place at the Royal Court on December the 2nd. City Talk was there, of course, and we're about to hear what happened on the night.
The Radio City and City Talk Local Heroes Awards 2008. The Gold Award with the Suites Hotel Knowsley.
OK, this is the big one. It's quite rightly called the Gold Award because it is a very important award recognising a person who inspires everyone they come into contact with. Leading by example, they work tirelessly to make Merseyside what it is today. Without them, our community would be a lesser place. So please really welcome on stage, first of all, the sponsor of this award, Mr. Pete Tyre from the Suites Hotel Knowsley.
And also now, please welcome onto the stage a man who celebrated his 300th game in charge of his Premiership club, his 301st this forthcoming Sunday at Goodison Park, from Everton FC, the one and only Mr. David Moyes. And one or two Everton fans in here tonight, I see, Mr. Moyes. Right then, to tell us more about this year's Gold Award, please cast your eyes up to the big screen. I'm telling us all about it. Is that Radio City's mid-morning Pink Prince, as he likes to call himself, Mr. Rick Vaughan.
Hello there, I'm Rick Vaughan from Radio City 96.7. Now, tonight's Gold Award goes to a local charity who have worked in the city for over three decades. In the process, they've helped thousands of children. They help young people and their families transform their lives for the better and basically overcome any obstacles in their path. Together, this group creates a better future for everyone they work with, and they really do make a difference to the lives of the people they come in contact with. So, it's an honour to introduce the Gold Award, and I know the winners truly deserve to celebrate tonight, so congratulations.
Thank you, Rick. And the winner in the envelope, David Moyes.
Stephen Yip.
Congratulations, Stephen Yip.
Oh, for those of you who don't know Stephen, I think Stephen's been working for KIND, Kids in Need and Distress, for about as long as I've been on the radio, which is over 30 years, I think, Stephen.
1975.
So tell us a little bit about what KIND does.
Well, KIND's a children's charity that is all about giving some of those unlucky children within our community an opportunity, a chance to see that they and life can be better. So for 33 years now, that's what we've been about, is trying to help, improve, and to motivate and enthuse children and their families.
Well, for working tirelessly for 30 years with kids in need and distress, Stephen Yip, please accept the award from Pete Tyre from the Suites Hotel in Knowsley.
Thank you. Well done. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, David Moyes. And once again, well done to Stephen Yip.
Talk to Trisha on City Talk 105.9.
That was Stephen Yip, the winner of this year's Local Heroes Gold Award. Now, Stephen came into the studio to talk to me about his life and work, and here's what he said.
This is Talk to Trisha on City Talk 105.9.
Stephen Yip launched Liverpool's children's charity KIND after working as an NSPCC volunteer in his university holidays. 33 years later, KIND, which stands for Kids in Need and Distress, is a national organisation, and Stephen is the chief executive who received an MBE in the last New Year's honours. Now, Stephen's own childhood in Chinatown gave him strong views about disadvantaged and deprived families, and he believes that a safe, green and caring environment promotes creativity and ultimately happiness amongst the kids he works with. Now, with the school holidays just a couple of weeks away, KIND is about to launch its summer's programme, and Stephen joins us now to tell us more. Stephen, welcome to City Talk.
Thanks, Tricia. It's good to be here.
Now, you started KIND as a very young man.
A lad.
Why?
As you've said, I was an NSPCC volunteer, but really at school, not at university. I started off when I was at school at about 14 years. I past the 11 plus all those many years ago and went to
that.
A very prestigious high school called Quarry Bank,
right.
whose old boys included John Lennon,
yes.
Steve Coppell, Les Dennis and Derek Nimmo, for those old enough to remember him.
Yes, yes.
And one of my best friends, his dad was a senior inspector with the NSPCC, Ian Collins, and we got sort of persuaded to do all the usual things, you know, Flag Day, sponsored events. But every year the NSPCC would organise an annual event, which was a week's break to Wales, and we got taken along. But in 1974, the NSPCC, for a variety of reasons, couldn't do their annual week away to Wales, so I stepped in and asked if I could do it. And really, that was the start of it.
Why? What do you think? What, I mean, because most, we think of maybe wrongly, if you're, most young boys being sort of more interested in girls and
oh, still interested in girls, Tricia, you know.
Oh, you know what I mean. And football. Yeah. But that's quite an altruistic thing to get into at that age, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm a born organiser. I mean, in school, I would organise the school discos and we organised the usual charity events, and I was in the middle of that, and I, something I really enjoyed. But I think the big thing for me was when I was away with the children, and these were children who had gone through abuse or suspected abuse, and to see the way they blossomed over the week from being very quiet and withdrawn at the start of the week until at the end of the week, they were just like ordinary kids, you know, very loud and really enjoyed the week and enjoyed meeting new people. And that really gave me a buzz, and I thought this is something that I'd like to do.
Did you learn a lot about them in those days? Because, as you say, you're at a prestigious school and these children would be from schools, would probably be children you wouldn't normally have met within your normal circle. Do you think that's where you started learning about...
yeah,
I guess kids are often given labels as being tough or nuisances or what have you, but you started seeing the real people.
Well, that's right, yeah, because as a volunteer, I also did... a placement at the NSPCC, so I would go round with the inspectors and I would see where some of our children actually lived and the conditions in which they lived. And you had to wonder, you know, how these children, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, were so nice, turned out to be such nice kids because they were living in social conditions which the majority of us in this country would find very difficult to live in. And unfortunately, that's still the case in 2008.
Yes,
you know,
kind, yes, you're right.
Kind's been going since 1975 and we are still working with families who live in very difficult social and economic conditions.
How did you go from NSPCC to actually starting up Kind yourself? Because that's pretty scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. But it was all after 74. I enjoyed it so much. I decided this is something I'd like to do, not full time. You know, I mean, I was still working. So you know, I took a lot of advice, and the idea was set up a registered charity. You know, to give you that legitimacy, which we did, and we were registered on Christmas Eve, 1975.
Right,
which was amazing. And very appropriate for a children's charity.
Yeah.
And really, it was summer and weekends, and, you know, fundraising was very difficult. I had to go round and introduce myself to everybody and say, you know, I'm trying to raise funds to take kids here and there. We organised our first ever Christmas appeal in 1975, and that stayed with us every single year. We organise a major Christmas appeal every year. So last year, we helped over 7,500 children and their families have a happier and less stressful time over the Christmas.
So can you explain the philosophy behind Kind for those of us who don't know?
It's very simple, really. I mean, our ethos has remained constant over 33 years. We believe that every single child, whether they're yours or mine, whether they're rich or poor, have certain inalienable rights. They have the right to dignity. They have the right to realise that they've got skills. They've got the right to realise that they can be successful. But, I mean, we do this in a very structured and a very caring environment because, unfortunately, you know, for a lot of our children, they don't pick up the sort of social values which you and I and the majority of us take for granted.
No,
they
no.
don't pick them up from home. They don't pick them up from school. So somewhere in their life, they have to realise that, you know, there are certain things that the majority of us do and also that there are consequences to actions.
Yes, that's very important. Now, it started off, as you said, in 1975 with the summer schools, but it has involved, looking at your website, you do parenting classes.
Yeah.
You've much further have you spread?
Well, we've developed. I mean, we've gone from providing holidays or breaks, as we call them, and the Christmas appeal. We now have a purpose-built centre in the heart of Toxteth, which has cost us over £750,000, and it's called the Seed Centre, Social Environmental Mental Education Development Centre, which now is a great place because it not only works with children, but we also work with their parents and other adults. And it's all about trying to teach that you can actually make a difference by doing small things.
So what sort of small things? Give me some examples.
Well, you know, for a lot of our parents, nobody has actually sat down with them and taught them how to bake and cook, has taught them how to work out a budget or a menu.
Or play
with their children, yeah. And I think it's so important that they realise, our parents realise that they do have skills and they can succeed as well at small things and through... And through succeeding at small things, we try and then encourage them to go on to bigger things. So, for instance, we've just done two vocational training courses. One was first aid and one was food hygiene. Now, you know, these are vocational courses, but it's a success. You get a certificate. For many of our parents and the adults that we work with, they've never had a certificate or somebody saying, well done, you've succeeded in that, in their lives. It's a massive event in their lives.
And do you think it also can break a chain? Because unless anybody intervenes or anybody shows you how to do something differently, traits get passed on from generation to generation to generation without being questioned. So organisations such as yours with KIND, working with the children, you could break the link in otherwise... poor parenting practices,
I think you're perfectly right. I mean, you know, organisations like KIND, like Sure Start, like Home Start, they've all got a part to play, because what we have to do is get the next generation. I mean, as children get older, as they turn into teenagers, as they turn into young adults, it becomes more and more expensive and it takes longer and longer to turn them round.
Yes.
If we can get our children 5, 6, 7, 8, if we can instill in them those good social values, you know, responsibility, cooperation, toleration, respect for yourself, respect for others, it stays with them for the rest of your life. I'm sure you'd agree that the lessons that we are taught and learnt in childhood stay with us until the day we die.
Oh, absolutely.
And if they're good lessons, then we get good adults.
Yes. Now, you've stayed in Liverpool and you're still based in the city centre in Toxteth.
No one else will have me, Tricia.
I'm sure you're probably straight and thin.
It's true.
But how do you think the city's changed over the years? And do you think there are specific problems facing families here?
Yeah, I think like in any city, we have a percentage of families who are not sharing in the wealth, who are not sharing in the regeneration. Houses may be improved, but you know, so the exteriors look very nice, the double glaze, new kitchens, new bathrooms. But what happens inside the houses really hasn't changed for, you know, a minority of our parents and families. And I think that's the shame of it, because they're not sharing in the wealth, they're not sharing in the good news about Liverpool, because Liverpool is regenerating. And there's an awful lot of good things going on here. And there's an awful lot of excellent organisations.
But what shuts them out? What shuts them out, do you
education,
think?
Education is the main thing. Because don't forget, when children are born, they're not born knowing that they've got certain responsibilities. They're not born knowing that we have to say please and thank you. These are all things that children have to learn. And if they're not being taught, they can't learn. So for a lot of our parents... when they were children, they weren't taught these things. They have children, they're not teaching their children. So as you said before, it's this cycle of deprivation. We have to have a massive, massive input into stopping that cycle of deprivation. And it is going to be with organisations like Home Start, like KIND, like Sure Start.
It is, isn't it? Because there still is this fear, and I've often picked this up, there still is this fear of social services of being the bad guys. We know that's not always the way it is. It's certainly not. But there is this fear amongst those who need help the most about if they put their hand up and go to social services and ask for either a referral or ask for help, that they're going to be seen as bad parents and they're going to have their kids taken away from
them. That's right. I think you're perfectly right. And I think the beauty of the voluntary sector is we don't have that statutory power. I mean, we are often seen as friends and support. So we can actually do things which perhaps the statutory powers such as social services can't. And I think it's so important that the government and local government... And I'll give you a prime example, Tricia. You know, we're a charity that's been going for 33 years. We don't receive any local government support and we don't receive any central government support. We've been going for 33 years like that. But
it's ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous, but we're still working with, you know, 4,000 children non-residentially. We're doing 7,500 kids at Christmas. On our residentials, we're doing up to 400.
But doesn't that drive you mad, Stephen?
Yes, because I've got grey hair,
No, but governments, time and time and time again, are saying and pledging, you know, know, children, childhood, early intervention, children first, children, SARS, this, that and the other. And yet there are organisations like your own, again, Home Start, and to a lesser degree, Sure Start, that are absolutely begging and fighting for funding. How is this?
Yeah, no, I mean, I spend now more time trying to fundraise than I do actually working with the children that I set the charity up to work with. And it's very, very hard because, you know, the big problem is we're not new and we're not sexy anymore because we've been doing this job. Because I firmly believe that when we were set up in 1975, the actual deprivation is still the same as it was in 1975.
I'm sure.
And the problem is, you know, as you move through and you become an established charity, you're not sexy anymore, you're not new. But what we do is no less important and no less needed than it was in 1975.
So tell us, what's happening over the summer and how can people access Kind in two ways? If they feel they need your help and if they'd like to put their hands in their pockets.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Well, our summer school, which is 5 weeks, starts on the 28th of July, and that's based at our centre in Toxeth, the Seed Centre. Mm-hmm. We offer 36 places per week to children aged between 5 and 12.
Right.
Obviously, we give priority to children where there is disadvantage. So, you know, if single mums, or because every child who comes to us has to have a referrer. Now, that referrer could be a teacher, could be a health visitor, could be a vicar or a priest, it could be a community worker, but it has to be somebody who knows the circumstances of that family.
Our
residentials begin on the 3rd of August and run through for 5 weeks.
And so again, kids actually stay there then?
No. We're now based in just outside Welshpool. It's a beautiful...
Brilliant.
A beautiful centre just outside Welshpool called the Redridge Centre. And again, we take up 50 children a week, depending on funding. And again, the age range for that is 5 to 12. Children have to be referred again.
And we should tell people the website is www.kind.org.uk.
Yeah.
And there you can also pledge some funding as well.
Yeah, we will never say no to funding. And we are desperate for it. I mean, I think every charity of our size is suffering at the moment. And we've had our worst May and June for 20 years. Yeah. It's very difficult at the moment.
And what the other thing people should think about as well, I know we don't like thinking about it, but legacies and wills, if you're writing legacies and wills as well, it's a way to really feel that, you know, you could pass something on to the next generation.
Awesome. Positive, And especially for smaller charities, because, you know, we don't we don't need to raise millions of pounds a year to do our work. We need to raise 350,000 every year. And that's what we've done for 33 years. So, you know, small to us is great. We don't get big donations. We live on lots and lots of small 20s, 50s and 100s. But it would be nice to get 100,000 off somebody.
Yes, are you listening, Governor?
Yeah, and anybody out there, Tricia, please.
Anyone, corporate or otherwise.
Yeah, anybody.
Stephen, it's fantastic talking to you.
Thank you.
Applaud the work you're doing. And it's a shame because we need to wake up and realise. I was just talking to our previous guest, Louis Ferranti, who spent all that time in prison. We spend so much money at the other end, at the wrong end of the scale.
When it's
too late. So, Stephen, thank you so much. And let me just remind people again, www.kind.org.uk if you want to find out what Kind is doing during the summer and you do need a referral, as Stephen was telling us. And if you want to donate some money, please, 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 please do.
Talk to Tricia on City Talk 105.9.
That's all we've got time for this week. Now, I do hope you've enjoyed hearing from our local heroes. This is Tricia Goddard wishing you a very happy new year. And I'll be back same time next Sunday picking my heroes and villains of 2008. So join me then. Take care and stay tuned for Pete Price here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Listen and log on to the voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.